Welcome back to Common Sense Care, parenting gender-confused children with truth and love. The gender industry's so-called affirmative care plan is their one-size-fits-all answer for everyone who struggles with their sense of identity. But in no other area of medicine, child care, education, or psychology is a one-size-treatment plan the best thing for every person. I believe that every child is an individual and deserves the treatment that is most appropriate for him or her. So welcome back. I'm Maria Keffler.
And I'm Erin Brewer. And what's our topic for today?
Well, today we're going to talk about financing transgender treatments. And this might seem like sort of a strange topic, but I think when we get into it, people will understand why we need to address this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of the you know, sort of the explosion of transing treatments, I think sort of got its start with Obamacare, because Obamacare mandated that these were treatments that needed to be covered. And so it sort of was the first in for the for these companies that all of a sudden, you know, well, the if you were on Obamacare, then these interventions had to be treated. And since then, other insurance companies have started covering them. But we're going to specifically talk today about kids who are trying to get these interventions without their parents' consent or knowledge, potentially, and without insurance coverage. And so there are lots of things that are really concerning that are happening because these kids are so convinced that these are the only treatments that are going to help them feel better, or you know, whatever reason they are just pursuing them, and not necessarily in safe ways.
Well, and this is what the gender industry is telling these kids. They're making these promises. Oh, as soon as you start on puberty blockers, you're going to feel better because you're not going to go through the wrong kind of puberty. Or as soon as you start on cross-sex hormones, that's going to fix your gender dysphoria. You're going to feel a lot better. Well, then they get on those and they find out that they still don't feel better. Oh, well, you need to have top surgery. And once you get rid of your breasts, then you're going to feel better. Well, that didn't help. Oh, well, then you need to have bottom surgery, which is for a girl having a phalloplasty, a fake penis attached. For a boy, it may be an orchiectomy, having his testicles removed, having his penis removed. And they just keep promising, oh, once you have these interventions, you're going to feel better. And we're not even addressing, why are you not feeling good? You know, why are you feeling uncomfortable with your body? Well, that's a verboten question now. Right. In so many states, it's illegal for anyone to even ask, why are you feeling this way? So these kids, really, all of their eggs have been put in one basket, no pun intended there, that this is the only thing. And as we said in the intro, affirmative care is the only option that's offered. And if that's the only thing that can possibly make you feel better, you are going to pursue it single-mindedly and determinedly.
Right. And a lot of these the interventions are very expensive, as you mentioned. It's not something that a kid can generally pay for with a part-time job. There are insurance companies now that are actually closing records so that parents don't have knowledge of what their children are getting. And so that's one way that the gender industry has made these treatments available to kids in certain states. The other thing is that some of the clinics are on a sliding fee scale. And again, this is in their best interest, because once they get a kid hooked, that child is medicalized for life. And so they're guaranteed they're going to have a return customer. And
well, explain why that is, because you explained a few weeks ago, what if the child desists? Don't they just stop taking the hormones then?
Right. And so, you know, either the child continues along this path and they need to access these transgendering medical interventions, or they desist. And oftentimes, if they've been on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and had these surgeries, then their bodies are no longer capable of producing the hormones that their body needs. And a human body needs these hormones. They need a sex hormone. In all honesty, testosterone for a woman is probably better than nothing. And estrogen for a male is probably better than nothing. So when they desist, if they're not able to replace that testosterone or estrogen with you know the hormone that their body is supposed to make, then they're going to get very sick and probably die very young. So it's important that they get access to the appropriate hormones again for the rest of their lives. So I have a friend who's a detransitioner. He went through, you know, all the surgeries, and so he no longer has gonads, and he has to take testosterone for the rest of his life. There are girls who have had, who've been on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. Their bodies no longer produce estrogen normally and naturally. So they have to get an artificial hormone for the rest of their life. So these companies, you know, once they draw these customers in, then they know that they're going to have customers for the rest of their life, which is really horrifying. So how to pay for this? You know, a lot of times parents are saying, no, we're not going to pay for it. And so kids are
It's the right thing to say.
Exactly. But kids are really good at finding ways around it. So there are things like GoFundMe that are being set up. Kids are setting up GoFundMe pages so that they can get their hormones and surgeries paid for. Kids are getting engaged in pornography and prostitution to pay for these interventions. And some kids are running away. They're going to states like California, where minor surgeries and hormones are covered by the state insurance. And so, you know, those are three of the main ways that kids are getting access to them. The other thing that's happening is kids are going online and accessing them illegally. And that's scary because, you know, anytime you're engaged in illegal activity, you don't know what you're getting. So even though these kids, you know, are thinking that they're buying estrogen or testosterone, it's hard to know for sure what they're actually getting. So these are really problematic things that are happening. And if a kid gets, you know, sucked into this, the other thing that we've heard is we've actually heard of cases from parents where children have been encouraged to run away, and they go to what's called a glitter family, a family that affirms this. And sometimes that child ends up in a family. It's not actually a family, but it's a sex trafficker. And so they run away from home, and then they end up being sex trafficked. So these, you know, the push, the incessant message that for children, the only solution is to start medicalizing, is encouraging these really dangerous behaviors like pornography, prostitution, and running away.
You mentioned the bad outcomes with running away. And we know statistically kids who run away generally don't end up in good situations. They're not running away most of the time into a better situation. And I was at a school board meeting here in my district, and there's a teacher in a neighboring district who was there. He is a trans rights activist. And I was speaking with him during a break, and he said, I shouldn't tell you this because we're not supposed to do this, but if I find out that a child doesn't feel safe at home — he didn't use the fingers are my safe at home — if I hear that a child doesn't feel safe, I'll help that child find a different place to live and find money to live on. And I thought, you're making runaways. You're helping kids become runaways. Right. And he's a teacher in a public school.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. Anytime a child gets involved with prostitution or pornography, it's setting them on a path that it's dangerous, and it's really hard to recover from. You know, once a child gets involved, even though there are some safeguards, theoretically, to protect children from making pornography, we know that there, again, kids are really good at finding loopholes, and there are people out there who will pay them to make pornography for them. There are people out there who will pay them to perform sex acts. And if a child feels like the only option for them is to medicalize, then they're more likely to get involved in these activities that, you know, they're going to have lifelong consequences. You know, it's really hard to recover. And again, it just infuriates me that we have the gender industry that's giving the message to children that they need to pursue these interventions. The other thing is the GoFundMe. And, you know, it's outrageous to me when I see the number of GoFundMe sites to support girls cutting off their breasts, or boys cutting off their testicles, or boys getting facial feminization surgery or breasts, and that they're getting funded. You know, is there any other case where, you know, if I were to create a GoFundMe so that I could get a facelift, I don't think that I would be celebrated as being authentic and brave. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, these kids are, you know, the comments on these GoFundMe sites talk about how brave and courageous they are and how they're going to be their authentic self. Again, encouraging this really dysfunctional thought. And it makes me really angry that these sites, that the GoFundMe allows this, mm-hmm. You know, that they're allowing children basically to engage in self-harm. They're funding self-harming behaviors. And, you know, if I had a GoFundMe site, I need more razors because the razors I've been using to cut myself are dull and I don't have enough money for new razors. And I want to make deeper and better cuts. You know, mm-hmm. GoFundMe would take that down. But for some reason, GoFundMe and other fundraising sites are okay with this kind of self-harming behavior.
And I've seen so many parents talking about finding out that their child had a GoFundMe. And one particular that I remember was heartbreaking. This mother posted in a group and she said, "I found out that my sister contributed mm-hmm. to my daughter's GoFundMe. After I've talked to her and she's known this child her whole life, and my daughter had, you know, rapid onset gender dysphoria, and this is out of the blue, and my sister contributed money to help her niece cut her breasts off." Yeah. And just how devastating that is and how betrayed parents must feel.
Right. Well, we have a clip here from a doctor who actually did some research on the number of GoFundMe sites that were set up.
"You should be concerned about the profit motive clouding people's judgment. To begin to get a handle on the economics of what we're talking about, our organization, we tracked GoFundMe requests for the last 4 months for what's colloquially known as top surgery. As of last week, we found 40,013 campaigns over that 4 month period. If we conservatively estimate the cost of that surgery at $10,000, and that's a conservative estimate, then these patients will need $400 million to get these surgeries. And that's only a small part, right? That's one of the surgeries. That's a small part of the whole picture."
That is devastating, but I want to point out, so our book, Partners for Ethical Care, put out a book, Desist, Detrans, Detox, Getting Your Child Out of the Gender Cult. We put that out in April, and when I was researching for that book, I looked up the GoFundMes for top surgery, and there were about 35,000 at that time. It's now September, and now they're up over 41,000. So just in, what is that, 5-6 months? We've come up, what, another 15%, 20% more fundraisers. Wow. My math game is not that strong, but we've come between 35,000 to 41,000 in just a few months.
And this is, you know, definitely a growth industry. The thing that makes me really sad about these GoFundMe sites is that these people are going to go get these surgeries and they're going to think they're going to feel better. And we have good research showing that that's not true. Mm-hmm. That in fact, the suicidality goes up after these kind of surgeries. And in about 10 years, the rate of suicide is very high for those who have undergone these surgeries. And it makes sense because basically the message is that you're inherently flawed, that the only way to resolve that, you know, that flaw is to become somebody else. You're basically telling that person that they are not okay who they are. And then they go and they try to become someone else. And surgery is sort of the last option. Once they've had surgery, there really aren't any other procedures that they can go through to continue the transition. And then it hits them that they've done all these things. They've damaged their bodies. They've hurt themselves and they don't feel any better. This, mm-hmm. They still have the same problems they did. And a lot of times the problems are even compounded by all these interventions and they feel completely betrayed. And as they should, but they mm-hmm. also feel completely helpless because everything that they did, they were supposed to feel better and it didn't work. And so the message that they got, they realize either they're so damaged that they, you know, even transitioning didn't help, or they realize that they've been lied to. Either way, they feel at their wit's end. And oftentimes that's when they become suicidal. It's really heartbreaking. The other thing that I think we don't talk about a lot is the side effects and the, gosh, I can't remember what they're called. The, you know, when the surgery doesn't go right, which happens a lot, Scott Nugent, who is a woman who went through a phalloplasty, has talked about all of the complications that she has had as a result of the phalloplasty. She basically went bankrupt because she wasn't able to work. She lost her job. She lost her car. She lost her home. She lost pretty much everything as a result of getting this phalloplasty. Nobody warned her ahead of time that she could be medicalized for life and that she would have a lifetime of, you know, consequences as a result of that phalloplasty. She
The same thing with Jazz Jennings, right? Jazz Jennings is portrayed as this glitzy, wonderful, isn't it great, transitioned from being a boy to being a girl. And I mean, the story of what he went through, he basically split in half after his surgery, because they cut off his penis and his testicles and created a hole. And by his own words, he pretty much broke in half after that surgery, has needed multiple follow-ups, and is in no way in the clear and healed. And it goes
on. Now he's looking morbidly obese. And so clearly something is wrong. You know, there's something that, you know, there's a disconnect. And again, when you give somebody a message that if they do these things, then they're going to be happy, and then they're not, boy, what a huge betrayal that is. And again, this huge financial cost that you have, you know, needing, you know, hormones of some kind, and then covering the complications. I've seen video after video of both males and females who have had surgery on their genitals, and, you know, the urinary tract infections, the fistulas that develop, you know, basically holes that develop between the anus and the vagina, and, you know, having to wear, you know, bags because they're not able to use their rectum anymore. I mean, these are just horrifying, completely unnecessary side effects, consequences of these surgeries that are, you know, unnecessary surgeries
that were perpetrated on perfectly healthy bodies. This is what I want to emphasize to people. My grandfather had a colostomy bag. He was my great grandfather. And I remember my mom and my grandmother helping him change that, but he had, I believe it was colorectal cancer, and he ended up with that. We're doing that to young people. We're doing that to teenagers and people in their 20s and consigning them to a life with a colostomy bag for absolutely no reason, except that it makes the gender industry money.
Right. And I think that that's what the bottom line is here, is that this is all about making money for the gender industry. This isn't about helping kids feel better about themselves. This is, you know, a probably $1 billion industry at this point. Mm-hmm. And these children, again, are feeling desperate, and they're trying to figure out ways to make money. And, you know, I remember as a kid, I was pretty creative. I came from a family that didn't have a lot of money, and there were, you know, at times there were things that I wanted, and I was able to find creative ways to get money. Oftentimes they weren't particularly legal. And so, I mean, I'm thinking back then, and that was just for, you know, stuff I wanted. It wasn't for, you know, if I had been convinced that I had to get these interventions. And again, these are very expensive interventions. I have no doubt that I would have pursued whatever means I needed, you know.
And kids aren't just having this suggested to them. No, they're having this sold to them, right, marketed to them. A friend of mine just went to his son's middle school here in Arlington, and my friend took pictures all over the walls. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of sex and gender messages everywhere. And another friend said on the first day of school, the teachers were just hounding her son about, what are your pronouns? What do you want to be called? What are your pronouns? What do you want to be called? And in social media, kids are being just swamped with it in social media. So this is not just, oh, my child was feeling uncomfortable and somebody suggested this and the child seized upon it. No, kids are being actively preyed upon everywhere.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. And the thing that makes me really angry is that, you know, there are a fair number of insurance companies now. In fact, I think most insurance companies will pay for these interventions for adults. Not all of them. You know, but oftentimes they'll play for the puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and some of the surgeries. And yet if a child or an adult at some point realizes that they've made a mistake and wants to desist and kind of remediate some of the damage that's been done to their body, the insurance company doesn't pay for that. In fact, I've heard gender doctors sort of mock detransitioners as being, you know, sort of hysterical and silly for being upset about how they look. Well, that's exactly what caused them to pursue these interventions in the first place, was how they looked. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a general discontent with how they looked. And so the fact that, you know, a group of doctors will push to encourage a child to pursue interventions when they're, you know, when they're heading in the gender dysphoric direction. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as a child chooses to desist, they're considered sort of silly or kind of overly dramatic for being concerned about how they look. It really does show that this is a disingenuous movement. These doctors have to know that they're encouraging children into this, you know, very dangerous ideology.
Yeah, if they really cared about children, if they really were like, we want children to be comfortable, we want people to be comfortable in their bodies, they would be even more concerned about the detransitioners than they were when those detransitioners were transitioning, because they would want to know, wow, what happened? What, you know, how do we fix this? How do we learn from this? They don't want to learn. They don't want to hear anything that contradicts their ideology, because their ideology is very profitable and it's completely unconscionable. And I'll be very honest, I would dearly love to see Nuremberg type trials for these doctors and therapists. I want to see every educator who ever told a child that he or she could be born in the wrong body. I want them to never be allowed to work with children again, because this is active predation on children for profit.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it is completely unconscionable. And again, I can't imagine how hard it is for parents to, first of all, to have a child who's, you know, angry at them and belligerent and insistent that they don't love the child because they're not affirming. And then for those parents to find out that their child is engaging in pornography or prostitution or drug dealing in order to get the money to get the interventions. You know, any ideology that encourages children into those avenues is you know, reprehensible. Children should never be sexualized like that. And to have a parent, you know, either, you know, happen upon a GoFundMe site or happen upon, you know, how would you feel as a parent to find out that your child's been engaged in prostitution or pornography simply to get interventions that, you know, as a parent are going to damage them? So if you are a parent, this is a lot of doom and gloom, but part of it is because we want you to be aware that your child could be pursuing these avenues in order to get money. And you know, I've talked to Alex, one of the co-founders, Partners for Ethical Care, and she's had parents reach out to her and ask her if she will kind of do a deep dive into porn sites and see if she can find out if their kids are actively involved in making pornography. And she has found children who are involved in pornography. It's just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people out there who are willing to take advantage of children who are eager to find ways to make money. And then we have Starbucks, which is a company who, you know, if you're a parent watching this, I'm just asking you to stop going to Starbucks. Just stop, because they are actively pushing this. They're known as the company to go work out if you want to have these body modifications made. They cover facial feminization, they cover laser hair removal, they cover breast augmentation, breast reduction, or breast amputation. I mean, they have a reputation. And so kids are
But they'll only cover those for transgender treatments.
They won't cover it the other way. So if a woman goes in there and just wants to have her breasts enlarged because she wants larger breasts, maybe she identifies as a big-breasted woman, they won't cover that. Or if a woman has a lot of, you know, unsightly facial hair that she's very self-conscious about, they won't cover that. But if she were to identify as the opposite sex, then apparently they will cover it. And so Starbucks is one of those companies that I feel is complicit in this. I know that I've been on threads where people are encouraging kids to go get jobs at Starbucks because they know that Starbucks will cover these interventions and be ever so affirming.
we know of somebody who has taken great advantage of Starbucks and brags about.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He talks about Starbucks as his sugar daddy, that this is a company and it's known for that. And so, you know, one thing you can do as a parent is stop getting Starbucks coffee, just stop going there. And maybe let them know that you are not going to go to, you're not going to give them your business because of what they're doing. Because at some point, we have to stand up and say no more. We have to stand up and let companies know that if they're going to encourage these kind of self-harming behaviors and this really, encouraging self-hatred among their employees, that we won't support them.
Well, I'm going to read something that was written by a parent whose daughter medicalized against the parents' wishes. I know a little bit about their story. The daughter had some mental health struggles. I believe the daughter was in counseling for those. But as soon as the daughter indicated that she had a transgender identity, everything else was irrelevant to doctors and counselors. And this child was medicalized against her mother's wishes. And this is what her mother wrote about that. I have a hard time reading this. I've never read this without crying. So I'm going to do my best. Your beloved child has been kidnapped by a sadistic cult. The cult brainwashes her to believe you are the enemy. The brainwashing erases her entire childhood. Every good memory is replaced with memories of abuse that never happened. The cult convinces her to inject poison in her body and to get her healthy body parts amputated. You panic. You scream, you sob, you beg, you are reduced to nothing. You search for help everywhere, but nobody will help you. Nobody will stop the cult. In fact, the government investigates you and tells you to approve of what the cult is doing to your daughter. The world has gone mad. You find out the cult is kidnapping thousands of other young girls and boys, and the government is funding the cult. You grieve with other parents going through the exact same thing. Society celebrates the cult and ridicules parents who fight back. Some parents are willingly handing their children over to the cult and cheering their child's destruction. The child you love with everything in you, the child you would die for, is now unrecognizable, replaced by someone who holds you in contempt. She is now part of the cult. You sob day after day, night after night, wondering how many tears one human can cry. You scream when you see her severed breasts and collapse, sobbing, my God, what have they done to my baby? You nearly drink yourself to death when you find out the cult cut out her entire reproductive system. No, no, no. They took my baby's womb. They took her eggs. She doesn't know any better. She's still a little girl. You reach out to every government agency you can think of and every organization fighting the cult. You think there is nothing more the cult can do to her, but you are wrong. You fly to go see her twice within 6 weeks to beg and plead with her not to let the cult do this terrible thing. You beg the cult to stop torturing your daughter. You beg authorities to help you. Nobody will help your daughter. You cannot stop this next thing. So you beg, please don't hurt my daughter. Here, take my arm instead. All of it if you need to. I don't need it. Just take it. Your attempts are futile. You cannot stop the torture. So you sit alone in a motel room, sobbing until you choke on your own tears, praying with everything in you, hugging a pillow, rocking back and forth, pretending it is your baby, while you softly sob a song. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. For a while, your mind is gone. You call another mother who has a daughter whose breasts have been cut off by the cult. You sob together. Then you wait in a room knowing that nearby the sadistic cult is skinning and mutilating your baby. Sure, she's legally an adult now, but the stuffed animal you bought her yesterday that she picked out says otherwise. Rage builds with every passing second, and you contemplate what life in prison would be like. You now see very clearly what kinds of things you are capable of. Fire boils through your veins with bloody carnage dancing violently in your head, but she needs you now more than ever, so you can't. This is just one mother, one child. there are thousands of more cult casualties. Daughters, sons, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, nieces, nephews, cousins, all casualties of the sadistic cult. Oh, and let's not forget wives with suddenly stunned and braving husbands, all of the lesbians under attack, and the erasure of women's rights. My beloved child was kidnapped by a sadistic cult. Will yours be next? That was written by, her pen name is Alexis Arezzo.
And I just want to mention, for people who don't know what she was talking about as far as having her arm stripped off, that's for phalloplasty. And they basically deglove the arm. They cut here and here, and they take the flesh to create a fake penis, a useless penis that, you know, it just hangs between the legs. Oftentimes there are just horrible side effects, complications. You know, people die from these operations. And I can't even imagine being a mother sitting outside the hospital room knowing that this is going on and mm-hmm. wondering, how can this be legal? I mean, really, how can this be legal?
It shouldn't be legal.
No. And so
I have two daughters, and I cannot imagine going through that.
And then to find out that other people contributed to her GoFundMe so she could do that, mm-hmm. or that she was engaging in prostitution or pornography to pay for it. It really just gives insights into really how very awful this ideology is. So for those who are saying that these kids are brave and authentic, we really have to just push back and say these kids are victims. They've been groomed, and this is an industry that will go to any length to make money off of your children.
Yeah, an industry that will cut the penis off of a young boy, that will cut out the uterus of a young girl, is an industry that is morally bankrupt. Yeah, and we need to stop it.
We don't do this to children. We don't even do this to adults. There's no explanation other than that this is just being driven by money. And it just shows the lengths that people will go to make money off of innocent children. And again, these children are victims. And parents, you are the victims as well. Any father who's gone through this, you're the victim. And it's not your fault. And we just need to keep fighting back and hopefully protect other children.
I want to also say, if any kids or young adults or anyone who's a detransitioner, who you went down this path and you realized that this was a mistake, I just want to tell you, it's not your fault. Yeah. It's not your fault. You were lied to. You were misled. You were actively deceived. Don't take this burden on yourself as, why did I do this? It wasn't you. You were led into this for profit. And so release that off of yourself. Come to Partners for Ethical Care. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to support you in any way that we can. But I just really want to emphasize, don't put the blame on this on yourself. You don't deserve that.
No. And Maria, I just have this voice in my head that somebody's going to say, well, if they're going to engage in these very dangerous activities in order to pay for these interventions, maybe the parents should affirm them. And how would you respond to that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess to me, that sounds like, would you rather die by hanging or die by guillotine? It's not healthy. The parents may affirm it. The parents may pay for it. Child's still going to end up in the same place. I can't see making a choice to affirm something that is so harmful. The harm that's coming, that we're talking about from doing the GoFundMes, the prostitution, that needs to be dealt with, not by saying, well, okay, I'm going to affirm you in this so you don't do that, but by saying, okay, I'm going to try to stop you from going down this road altogether. You know, let's try to, I would hope that parents would be hearing about this and saying, let me get my kid off social media right now. Let me consider whether school is a safe place for my kid right now. Let me do what I need to do to head all this off at the pass. Now, if you've got a 25-year-old who's heading down this path and doing prostitution GoFundMes, you don't have a lot of power in that situation. And I don't have adult children. My oldest just turned 18 last week. So I guess I do have an adult child now, but I have not gone through any really difficult paths with an adult child. So I don't have any experience that I can speak to that, but just from a practical common sense point of view, agreeing with something bad just to prevent something else bad is still going to end badly.
Right. Right. You're going to have a damaged child who's in fact going to not trust you because you affirmed the concept that they're flawed and that they needed to do these interventions in order to be able to live with themselves. And I think,
and we hear that from detransitioners, don't we? That they'll often say, as hard as I was on my parents, as much as I, you know, was angry and militant with them, my parents holding the line and saying, no, this is not okay, I don't agree with this, allowed a number of them to have a safe landing place when they said, you know what, I think this is wrong.
Right.
They had parents who had been for them all along.
Right. And so you are going to be your child's best advocate. And so if your child, you know, worst case scenario does go down this route, is prostituting, is making pornography, is selling drugs, gets the surgeries, you need to be there for them. You need to be the one who says, I love you and you are okay. And you don't have to change who you are. And I'm here for you because they're going to need you once they realize that they've been betrayed and that all these interventions didn't, you know, solve their core problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been another heavy subject. Again, we don't want to leave anyone, detransitioners, parents, we don't want to leave any of you feeling despairing or feeling hopeless. I really believe, and I think you believe too, Erin, this is going to end eventually. Truth is going to come to light. We're gonna see the day where this is not happening anymore. And until then, we've just got to keep trying to protect our kids, try to spread the truth as much as we can, and shed light on the dark places that the gender industry is trying to cover up.
Right. And we really do, when you know, this is, I know we're ending, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, a lot of these surgeons are actively recruiting children online. I've been doing research. Alex has been doing research. Partners for Ethical Care has been doing research. And we've documented instances where these surgeons are actively grooming children. It's illegal to do that, by the way. These surgeons are breaking the law, but we know it's happening. And so as parents, you know, you need to know that even if they're looking at, you know, what looks to be fairly legitimate social media sites, you have doctors and surgeons who are actively trying to undermine you and encouraging children, you know, to run away to get surgeries, or, you know, you don't have to be 18 to come to my clinic, come on over, you know, really encouraging dangerous behaviors among these children. And so we have to get to a point where we hold those surgeons accountable. Like you said, we need to get through this. And at the end of the day, we need to hold, you know, everybody accountable who's done damage to these children.
Yep, I absolutely agree. If there's anything that Partners for Ethical Care can do to help you, please come to our website, email us. We're partnersforethicalcare.com. Our email is support@partnersforethicalcare.com. So we are here and we want to support you in any way we can.
Well, thanks, Maria.
Thanks, Erin. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
We are not doctors or therapists. We are not giving medical or psychiatric advice, and we offer no guarantee of outcomes. We simply want to talk about how to support and love kids using long understood best practices from the fields of psychology, education, and child development. We're glad you joined in our conversation today, and we hope that you took away something you can put in your toolkit for parenting your gender-confused kids with truth and love.